Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity standing before you. Yes, it is a really a long time travel to this country, because with Leos I have like 32 hours traveling. And I think almost it's more than a day and a half. And I looking forward for this day to be with you. And I'm thanking God for this wonderful opportunity that God has given me. And I love to see all your smiling faces today. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Personally, I thank God, and also thank Pastor Brad bringing me over here. And I also thank Gary and family having me there last night. And I thank Dan for picking me up. Thank you so much for what you have done to us. This morning, I just would like to talk a passage that already read, Luke chapter 9, verse 57 onwards. I think this is a familiar passage for us, for all of us. And I'm so glad to know that Pastor Brad is taking some sermons from Luke. And I don't know how long you've gone through, but I think maybe it is the leading of the Holy Spirit to pick a passage from Luke and study together. I just would like to leave a few thoughts from this passage. Before I do that, let me go and say something about the context. Luke is the gospel writer, is also a physician, and he carefully gives a clear account of Jesus, you know, while on this earth. Jesus especially came to this world not accidentally. I always used to say, I mean, here in this scripture, in verse 57, we used to see, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you." They're on the road. Jesus and some of his disciples, they're on the road. This is the road on the way to Jerusalem. I always used to say to the folks back in India or wherever I have a chance to preach, Jesus going to Jerusalem is not an accidental thing. It's not something happened just casually, no. I always used to say, every single thing in the life of Jesus, his birth, his ministry, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his second coming, everything is foretold by the prophets. And now, in the same chapter, verse 52, we see Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, which is very significant for him. Even in the same chapter, we see the event of transfiguration, where Jesus, for a while, become, you know, show his glory to his disciples. He was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, and you have see that he was talking to the prophet Elijah and the lawgiver Moses about what the things he is going to do, or the exodus that is taking place in Jerusalem. It is because God's design, it's because God's plan for him to go to Jerusalem and persecuted by the people and taken out of the gate and crucified, and that is the glory that God gives to him. Praise the Lord. In the same passage, we also see Peter wants to build three tents, one for Jesus, one for Elijah, one for Moses, but the God from heaven forbid him and says to him, "Peter, you do not know what you are talking. The real glory for Jesus, the real glory for my son is not glorifying on the Mount of transfiguration, not on this mount, but he has to go down from this mount and he has to make travel towards Jerusalem, and he has to be in Jerusalem, and he has a lot of things to do there, and he was beaten up and he was dragged out and he was taken out of the gate of Jerusalem and he will be crucified there. That is the purpose why I am sending here to him. Therefore, you listen to him, do not give suggestions to him. Anyway, so the time has come for him, in verse 52, in the same chapter we see, the time has come for him to go to Jerusalem. That is why he set his face to go to Jerusalem. But on his way, we see, he met a lot of people, and he did not forget the ministry what God has given him. Praise the Lord. He was talking to the people. He was healing to the people. He was giving and teaching and talking about the kingdom of God on his way to Jerusalem. Therefore, Luke, the gospel writer, he gives a very clear description. He gives a clear account from chapter 9 to chapter 23, how Jesus made his way to Jerusalem and how he was crucified and how the salvation plan of God is accomplished through Jesus Christ. So this morning, I just would like to bring few thoughts when Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, on the road of Jerusalem, he met three different individuals, three different people, and it is so important for us the answers he gave to them, and it would be very helpful as we are following Jesus Christ. Here goes. The first man comes and asks him. And verse 57, I'm reading for you. I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I think most of the times when Jesus gives the answers, and it's very significant. You know, if I was the man who is asking Jesus, Jesus, I want to follow you, and definitely I will expect from the Lord or from him to say to me yes or no. But in this case, Jesus did not give the answer yes or no, but he was saying something, and he was saying to him, he goes, okay, the birds of the air has the nest and the foxes has the holes, but the Son of Man do not have a place to lay his head. Why? I think he might say, okay, you can follow me, or he would say, okay, don't follow me. This is not the right time, or you are not qualified for that, not to follow me. But why Jesus gave this answer? I truly believe because Jesus knows the heart and the intention of that person. He might be knowing, maybe the man who is asking him this thing might be thinking, oh, if I follow Jesus, everything is free for me. I will have a food because he is a man and he is a prophet or he is a God and he can make, you know, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and that is sufficient for 5,000 people. The food is free. So my food is taken care of, or my shelter is taken care of, or anything can be taken care of. Maybe he was thinking like all of his needs would be met when he follow Jesus. And that's why Jesus was giving a strange answer to him, saying, maybe, hey, if you want to follow me, you have to pay the price. There is a cost involved. It's not so easy. It's not so simple. There will be times if you follow me, you may have not food. You may have not shelter. But still you want to follow. And that is what the answer Jesus wants to give to him. My brothers and sisters, my saints this morning, I just would like to leave this part with you. What about us? Why we are following Jesus? We are following Jesus because Jesus gives us food. Jesus gives us shelter. Jesus gives us a new job. Jesus gives us a glorious house. Jesus gives us whatever we need. So He meets all our needs. That's why you are following Jesus. It's because Jesus is provided you are following Jesus. Are you truly following Him because you love Him? I always pick up the idea of the friends of Daniel in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the three friends of him, those who are really had a hard time from the king. You know, the king was talking to them, Shadrach, Abednego, Meshach and Abednego, you three were there. Okay, if you deny your God, I can spare your life. You know what was the answer they gave the young man? They said, okay, king, and they were addressing him, okay, king, listen to us. The God whom we serve is able to rescue us from the furnace. The God whom we serve is able to provide, or He is able to deliver us, or He is able to rescue us from the furnace. But the last part of it is very, very important for us, my friends. They say, okay, even if my God is not rescuing us from the burning furnace, we would not bow down your idol. That is a commitment. They know for sure that God can rescue them from all the troubles they are going through. They know for sure God can provide the deliverance from them, for them, what they are going through. But their faith is something very exalted. Even if God is not providing the rescue, even if God is not delivering from the burning furnace, still they do not want to compromise. Still they do not want to bow down to the idol which the king wants to do them. My dear brothers and sisters, this morning, let me tell you why we are following Jesus. It is out of our love. It is out of, you know, something is driving in you. You are following Jesus. Or, I mean, back in India, we have so many people. I always say to them, okay, why you want to follow Jesus? Because God is your provider, you are following Jesus. No, if that is the case, I think I want to tell you one thing. It's not because God meets all your needs, you are following Him. But you want to follow Him with a sincere love for Him. And that's what Jesus wants to teach to this young man here, saying, okay, the birds of the air has a nest, and the foxes has holes, but the Son of Man has no place to lay down His head. But if you still wants to follow Me, you follow Me. And the next man, and the next person, and Jesus said to him, to another He said, follow Me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, leave the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And the second person, he's responding very significantly also. And he said, okay, follow Me. And the young man said, okay, I will follow you, but let me bury my father. Let me explain a little bit the context of this second person. It is not Jesus was so cruel. This young man's father's dead body was there at home. It was not like Jesus is not allowing him to go to his home and take his father's dead body and bury him and then come back to him and follow. No, it's not the idea. I think as someone said, it is the idea, it is the culture in the Middle East, like the son of the family or the eldest son of the family, or if there is only son, the son of the family had a responsibility to stay with his parents until they die. And then when they die, they bury him, and that is the responsibility of the eldest son or the only son in the family. And now, the context is, Jesus was not really agonist that he don't want him to bury his father, but the whole idea is this, that he wants to go back to his family, to his parents, and live as long as they live, and when they die, they bury him, and then he wants to come and join Jesus and follow him. Maybe it takes 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. And he wants to do that. And in that context, Jesus was talking to him and saying, hey, let the dead bury their own. You are not responsible for that. You are not the one responsible. If you want to go back home and you want to leave your parents until they live and when they die and you bury them and you come back, no. And Jesus wants an instant obedience, an instant response to his call. Praise the Lord. Just imagine for a while. I have this pen, just pick up from there. And this pen has a voice. Just imagine with me. And this pen has a voice. I will start writing on a paper. And since it talks to me, it says, oh, my dear boss, I'm not ready now. Okay? You can use me after half an hour. Or you can use me after 1 hour. Maybe you can use me this evening or tomorrow, after a week. I'm not ready. Is this pen is useful for me? I guess it's not useful for me. This pen is very useful for me when I want to write, when I want to start writing, it should be ready. And this pen has a voice and telling me, no, I cannot, I'm not ready. Just give me 1 hour, just give me 1 day, just give me 2 days, or just give me 1 week, then I will be ready, then I will come to you. And Jesus says, no. And the response of this man is just like that. He was giving an excuse saying that, okay, my parents are still alive. Okay, let me go to my parents. And let me live with them for a while, maybe 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year, 5 year, how long it takes, I have no idea. But when they die, I bury them, then I come back and follow you. Jesus is not encouraging us to follow after some time. He wants an instant follow him, right now. If God is calling you for something, if God is calling you, you know, some other thing, yes, he wants right now. I think as somebody says, like, delayed obedience is complete obedience. Disobedience, sorry. Delayed disobedience is a complete disobedience. You want to follow after some time? No. And he wants to follow right now. And now we go to the third man, how he respond and how it went. Let's see. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And the third man here, and the thou context here, and he says, okay, God, I want to follow you, but let me go to my family and say farewell. Let me go and give him a hug. Let me go to my family and give them a kiss and talk to them for a while, and then I will come and follow you. And Jesus says, the one who put his hand on the plow and looked back is not suit for the kingdom of God. My dear brothers and sisters, this morning, you know, you have put your hand on the plow, and there is no two sides for it, or there is no two kinds of things for it. One, you can follow him, and other, okay, still you can look back. I like the song, you know, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before, you sing that song here sometime? No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. Yeah, the world is causing you to look back. You know, if you have taken decision to follow Jesus, I want to encourage you, you should be standing in firm. And you put your plow on, you put your hand on the floor, and you never have to look back. You understand me? You know, what's the problem with the wife of Lot in the Old Testament? I think it says, the Bible says, the wife of Lot, but she doesn't have a name at all. And she's supposed to follow her husband, and she's supposed to follow the word of God. And she was following, she was just pretending like she was following the word of God and the command that has given to her. But all of a sudden, she turned back and became the pillar of salt. So this morning, I just would like to encourage you. You already took a decision to follow Jesus. You've already put your hand on the plow. Never look back. I had an experience of plowing. Because my dad was a farmer, I was raised as a farmer boy, and he used to farm. In those days, in the olden days, this is the story, maybe like 25 years ago, you know. We used to have these oxen before us, and then we have the plow tied to them and plowing the land. So there is a first one, and the second one, and the third one, and so it's in a line. And my dad was before me, and he gives a very strict instruction. Okay, my son, now you are starting plowing this land. Be careful. Once you put your hand on the stick, you know, the plow, you know, and never look back. You have to look forward. You have to look the destiny. You have to look and carefully watch. And there should be the plow side by side. And that is how you have to do. The moment I look back, my father will come and beat me at my back. It's a warning for me. Now, if you put your hand on the plow, until and unless it is finished, you have no way looking back. You are following Jesus. Thank you. You gave your life to Jesus. Thank you. You are baptized. Thank you. But when you put your hand on the floor, maybe there are so many things wants to attract you, to look you back. And I tell you, if you or me or anybody put their hands on the floor and look back, the Bible says, the scripture says, they are not fit for the kingdom of God. It's all about our determination. It's all about our commitment to the Lord. Why you are following? You know, why I am following Jesus? It is because something God provides me and meet all my needs, that's why I am following Him. I just love His provision. It's not me from wholehearted I am following Him. Or am I following Him instantly, without delay? Or I am following Him, you know, never look back. My friends, just think about how you are following Jesus. He's with us. Just to say, maybe you are thinking, oh yeah, this Sunday I'm going to church and put some offering and I'm singing and talking with the flocks. Hey, that is just a normal Christianity. When you're following Jesus, there is something that the Lord is demanding from us. I just would like to say, let us follow Jesus wholeheartedly from the bottom of our heart. With love, not for His provision in our lives. Let's look unto the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we just come to You, Thy throne of grace, Lord. And thank You so much for my brothers and sisters, the saints and the families here. Thank You, Lord, once again You reminded us to follow You the way You want us. Not just the way we want You to follow. Help us to see this thing in our lives, O God. Help us to see the cost of following You. Help us to see, out of love, following You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. There are people who do not follow You, O God. It is our responsibility to reach them and give testimony, share about You, and bring them and help them to follow You, O God. Therefore, God, once again, I am submitting myself and all the families here. Help us to follow. Help us to see how much we love You as we are following You, O God. We give glory, honor and praise because we pray in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.